This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, LFG, let's do this on a Friday. I cannot wait to get going today.
Man.
We're in a good spot.
On the show thread was bananas.
Yeah, well, you ducked out.
Well, I ducked out because I was a guest on a podcast. The Run TMC podcast, which is Run the Marin County. These are two guys, Duffy Ballard and Chris Ballard's brother. I don't know if you know Chris Ballard.
I know the name. So, I'm having a hard time placing it, but yeah.
He's an SI writer, a basketball writer.
Yeah.
His brother Duffy is a longtime Marin County resident, and Dave Levine. They're a couple of Marin County basketball heads, and they do this podcast.
What were you talking about?
Called the Run TMC podcast. Yeah. And we were talking about everything basketball, local college, local high school, the Warriors.
Well,
and my phone is going boop, boop.
Well,
boop.
See, so what I thought.
It got crazy. I figured, had to turn it off.
I figured you had something going on, but that makes you a bleep starter because you sent the starter text and then you just left.
I didn't know it was going to be.
It turned into a thing.
We didn't start the fire, Billy Joel.
Yep.
Turns out I did start the fire.
You did.
I didn't know that your reaction would be so visceral and so aggressive.
Well, I deny.
Borderline angry.
I deny that completely.
Don't make me find my phone.
Well, it was a Kuminga-related fire.
Yep.
And we'll get to that a little bit later. Stink's going to join us in an hour. If you don't speak sports media, that guy is named Mark Schlereth, longtime offensive lineman in the league. He'll be on in an hour. We do want to start with something 49er-related, although I guess this could go all NFL, hell, it could go every team that we talk about. So I turned on 95.7 Game this morning, and I'm hearing from people who are saying that they're not really convinced on the 49ers being all that much of a threat this year. It actually started with Spadoni. Spadoni this morning's like,
Raider fan.
Right. But he's like, I don't even know if they're good. And I oddly was not in sort of like, as you just described, the text chain mood. I was like, okay, I'm open to hearing this. Tell me why the 49ers are potentially not good or not a contender. And invariably, this is the line that comes up. And this is the one I would love to explore with you.
Okay.
Because we hear it in every sport, every year. Quote, they haven't beaten anybody.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about that. They haven't beaten anybody. When a team has more wins than losses, but, quote, hasn't beaten anybody. We did this with the Warriors all last year, right?
Yeah.
46-36.
Well, it turned out it was true with them.
It did.
Yeah.
So, and I would say the Dallas Cowboys last year. Very good record. Division winner. All right, but you haven't beaten anybody. And look what happened in the playoffs. They got their butts handed to them. But is that always a valid thing to say? Are you not a good team until you, quote, beat somebody? And somebody, by the way, is a subjective thing anyway. Like, I don't know, going into last week, it sounded to me like you thought the Tampa Bay Bucks were somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they
lost. Bad spot for Tampa.
Right, but now they lost. They lost two games in a row to the Chiefs and the Niners, both of them narrowly. And now they're 4-6, and now they're, quote, nobody again. They were somebody a week and a half ago. They were tied for first place.
Sure.
They had a 500 record. Now they're nobody again. So that's what I mean by it's a subjective thing. Is this a fair thing to hang on teams that win more games than they lose if they don't have sexy, fancy wins?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But ultimately, when you get to the end of the year, if you're a playoff team and you are a team that is not a hosting team because you didn't beat the teams you should have, then maybe it is a thing. And if you go up and you look at the Niners' remainder of their schedule, and I just did the math, Mark, on the teams that they have beaten, they're a combined 17-31. The Jets, the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Bucks,
sure.
17-31. That's not good. You lost to the Vikings, winning record. You lost to the Rams, Not a winning record. But, I mean, that's a game you should have won.
4-5, though.
You lost to the Cardinals, winning record. You lost to the Chiefs, undefeated.
Correct.
So, you've played, of your four losses, three are winning teams, and the other one is a game that you shouldn't have lost. And so, I look at the rest of the schedule. Seahawks, not a winning record. Packers, Bills, yes. Bears, not currently, and I think that they're heading in the wrong direction.
God, they're a mess.
And then, you know, Dolphins are a team that maybe can recover, but, you know, right now they're 3-6, and they have a, I don't know if they'll have a winning record then. They probably won't.
So banged up. Nothing going for them really on defense
and
for
the
most
Lions
part.
And then the Lions and the Cardinals again. So if you look at the remainder of the schedule, you've got a legitimate four games against good teams. So all of this, like, oh, you haven't played anybody, I don't think it applies to the NFL because every NFL team, every NFL game is a one-off. And you could face a good team or a bad team. Like, last night's a good example. Washington is really good, but they haven't beaten anyone. And I know you ran down a list of teams that haven't beaten anyone
either. I got a list.
And I love your list.
The Niners are not the only ones. First of all, happy Friday.
Yeah. Oh, let's do this.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, oh. On the screen right there.
Mm.
And it's a big Friday. And coming up at some point during the show, I get back to 500 with my Niner Seahawk lock.
Well, first of all, that will not happen during the show because the game is still 48 hours away. But the pick.
No, the lock will come.
The lock will come.
And the pick is already in. And I'm coming off a nice gut check win last night.
Eagles. I was feeling good at halftime.
Yeah.
I was feeling good at halftime.
You're drinking that Haterade at halftime.
First of all, look, you got me. You got me last night. There's no two ways about it.
Got him.
I'm not going to wiggle my way out of that one. This isn't about the spread. Can we do 30 seconds on last night?
Do 30.
What the hell? What? Did y'all watch last night?
You talking about Dan Quinn?
Not Dan Quinn.
Oh.
Cliff Kingsbury,
yeah.
Offensive coordinator. What in God's green earth? What are you doing? I've never had the bigger, and it's an NFL season, so you get a lot of these. But I've never yelled, what are you doing at the TV more than I did last night?
That's your go-to.
What on earth? First of all, we can all, and this is Dan Quinn because he's the head coach. But when you get there's 7 minutes left to go in the game, and you're at the 25-yard line. You're down by two, and it's 4th-and-2. Like, I don't know about y'all, I'm kicking the damn field goal.
Right.
Take the lead with 7 minutes to go. They go for it. They barely even get the snap off. It's not close. Fine. Eagles take over on downs. And then, now Barkley does his thing. The Eagles are up 2 scores. So this is sort of, I guess, kind of a nothing burger. But the Commanders are moving down the field, down 16 points with like 3 minutes to go. They've got the 2-minute warning and 2 timeouts. If you actually showed some urgency, there's a scenario where you score a touchdown, get a 2-point conversion. And if you do that before the 2-minute warning, you don't even need to onside kick. You kick the ball off. You got a 2-minute warning and 2 timeouts. But they're just being you guys get mad at Kyle Shanahan's clock management?
Kyle Shanahan.
Y'all should have watched this. They're bebopping. They're huddle. Now Jaden Daniels is at the line. He's calling out Omaha, Omaha. Like, we're talking to each other. And then they run the ball twice in a row. I'm like, what? Ross Tucker, who comes on this station a lot, literally tweeted, if I were a Commander fan, I would be so pissed right now. It was literally like, you'd have been mad if your youth football coach was calling plays like this. Anyway, now I got that off my chest.
Yep.
As you were.
Yep.
So I can tell you where this conversation's going. This conversation is going to this place. As we sit here today, do you buy the 49ers as contenders or not?
Absolutely.
Okay, 888-957-9570. Have they earned the label or not? It's week 11. We should know by now. They've got a winning record. I don't know if anybody's feeling great about it.
Yep.
Not in first place, not in a playoff position right now. A couple of boneheaded losses, and as we just detailed, no fancy sexy wins. However, let me add this to the party. You mentioned I've got a list. Here are four other teams that I would argue most people would say right now they're good, right? You think the Buffalo Bills are good? Is Buffalo good?
They're 8-2.
They're 8-2. Want to know the eight teams that they've beaten?
I'm looking at it right here.
All right. The list is the Arizona Cardinals, the Miami Dolphins, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the New York Jets, the Tennessee Titans, the Seattle Seahawks, the Miami Dolphins again, and the Indianapolis Colts.
I count one team with a winning record.
They haven't beaten anyone. Now, they had
they
two
beat
chances.
The Cardinals.
Right, but they beat the Cardinals back on week one by 6 points, and at that point, the Cardinals were on their way to their 2-4 start and all that. If you want to give them that, go ahead and give them that.
It's the only win they have against a team with a winning record.
There you go.
And at the time, they didn't have a winning record because they were 0-0.
The big measuring stick for Buffalo was week four. They went to Baltimore. Let's see what you got. They lost by 25 points.
Week five, you went to Houston. You lost by three.
You lost again. Buffalo, you haven't beaten anybody.
Yep.
Okay, what about the Green Bay Packers? Good team?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
A really good team.
Everybody likes the Green Bay Packers. This is going to be a hard game for the Niners. They're an underdog as we sit here today. Next week in Green Bay, here's your list of Packer wins. Colts, Titans, Rams, Cardinals, Texans, Jaguars.
That's two wins, two good wins.
Ish. I mean,
if you want to talk about against winning teams, the Cardinals are winning the West.
Yes, they are.
And the Texans have a winning record. So
right.
Those count.
Sure.
They count.
They're the two divisions that people point to that are the worst two divisions in football.
To your point, though, those are not overwhelmingly great wins. Houston looks to be a team reverting to the mean. And Arizona, yeah, they're leading the division, but everyone thinks the Niners will win that division.
You mentioned Washington, seven wins. I'd argue none of them impressive. Needed a Hail Mary to beat the Bears at home.
True.
Chargers are 6-3. Go look at their six wins. They haven't beaten anybody. They haven't beaten anybody. So what are we getting at? And let's answer that. And why don't you answer that? 888-957-9570 is the number. As we sit here today, are you buying the 49ers? Have they earned the label contender or not? Let's take your calls on that. We're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. Mark Schlereth joins us in less than an hour. I think at 3 o'clock we'd like to address everything that's happened in sports radio over the last week or so, especially here in this market. All of that is ahead. Happy Friday, everyone. It's Willard and Dibs.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
You can fade the dibber when it comes to the NFL.
I did last night. I paid the price.
Yeah, you
paid
did.
The price. Yep. It happens. It happens.
It does. And
not often, but it happens.
No, and it. You know what? The pick is in for Sunday, and I'm in a confidence pool with spreads, and this pick on Sunday is my most confident pick of the week.
I don't like this at all.
Well, you don't know where I'm going.
I do. I have a guess.
Well, it's obvious. I mean, honestly. Well,
okay.
And we'll get into it, and you know, hopefully Matt Barrows joins us, and we can get fully into the Niner-Seahawk part of it. And you know I'm a big fan about rest advantage, but the teams with the rest advantage are not winning as much as I would have thought they are winning.
And Seahawks are off a bye?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, to me, sometimes they matter and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, it depends.
You know what I mean?
Buffalo off a bye, the Niners in Green Bay the week before, that feels to me like a real advantage.
It might.
And Buffalo and chilling in New York.
Andy Reid off of a bye.
Dude, he doesn't lose.
He doesn't lose. Right. You know what I mean? But, like, when Tampa, you know, like whatever. Tampa did not have the rest advantage. That one felt like it mattered. And then the Niners came out and actually still messed around in that football game. They won. But I don't think, yeah, the Seattle thing, you know, Geno Smith does not do well against the 49ers. He does not do well outdoors. It's supposed to be a little dreary in Santa Clara on Sunday. At least that's the latest report that I saw. All of those things stack up against Geno Smith. Then again, I do think the Seahawks are ticked off and desperate, and they're capable.
Yep.
They're absolutely, I mean, they've got, you know, they've got good players. Sometimes you're facing a team, and I thought this was the case with Tampa last week. You know, you can be, oh, well, the Niners, they won, and they did. You were facing a team that has very, very few, I'm not going to say none, they have very few good players, and some of their best players were out hurt. So, but Seattle's healthy. They do have a new center.
Yeah.
That was a fun story.
Weird today, right?
This is so weird. Connor Williams, the Seahawks starting center, just up and retired this morning. So starting center. It's Friday of a game week. practice, retire.
Bye-bye.
What? What the hell is that? Is it like Shades of, what was his name? Chris Borland?
Right.
Yeah. Just, I'm
but
out.
That was that was like week one, I think. Coming out of camp, I thought.
What is that when it was? Grant, do you remember?
I want to say midseason, like maybe week eight, because he came on and
it was
like
shocking.
It was kind of a surprise, like, yeah. Oh, he's actually kind of good.
Right. He was coming on and he was having, was it his rookie year?
Pretty sure.
And he was doing good things and people were like, the Niners found something. And then he's like, I'm out. But this guy wasn't like, I don't know the analytics on Seahawks big guys. He wasn't playing very well, was he?
No.
He was
playing terrible.
Very poorly.
So yeah, Borland retired March 13th, okay, which was after his first
that
year.
That sounds like the offseason to me.
Yeah, it feels like it. And I'm just looking at an ESPN story. He retired via email. And yeah.
What?
The team sent him a bill. And for his well, for his signing bonus,
yeah,
that had to be recouped. So, yeah. According to the ESPN report from Steve Fainaroo and Mark Fainaroo-Wada, of course, known best for Game of Shadows.
Yes.
Although Mark was the author on that and Steve was not, but the two brothers have co-conspired to do many, many, many great things. This was March 13th.
Chris Borland, fourth in Defensive Rookie of the Year voting that
year. I mean, like, that's what I mean. Yeah. There's only a handful, and this doesn't count because, as you said, he's not playing well. He's a 27-year-old center. I don't mean to be dismissive, but nobody's heard of this guy unless you're like a real Seahawks honk or something like that. But there's only a handful of retirements, I think, in the NFL that like really stop and shake your trees the second they happen. Borland, at least for a 49er fan, was one of them because, as you just said, fourth in the Rookie of the Year vote, and a month after the Super Bowl, he's like, peace out. I got no room for this football thing. Andrew Luck, that one.
Yeah, that, no, good call.
I remember that. And then the Lions guys, like Barry Sanders stepped out when people were like, whoa, right? And then Calvin Johnson to a degree, same thing, where they were both just still playing at a really, really high level.
Patrick Willis, I don't mean to read your mind, Grandy, but I had a feeling that that's where you were going, where turns out his foot problem or his toe was far worse than we thought, but based on what he was doing and how good he was, how can you retire? You're still one of the best linebackers in football.
This is what I always leave room for this in the NFL, and I have no idea about this Connor Williams with the Seahawks situation.
Yeah.
Football hurts like hell, so I'm told. I mean like hell. And I know that that's not breaking any news, and I know that like these guys are the toughest people on the planet, and we see them as gladiators, and tough it out and all that stuff, but like I get it. Like from what has been described to us, the physical commitment that it takes, what it means to show up at camp and go through an entire football season and week in and week out and play football and then get a couple of months off and then rinse, repeat, and do it again and do it for your 20s and do it for your 30s. My God, you know what I mean? Like it is a real, real thing. And for instance, my co-host on Sunday nights, who was a 13-year offensive lineman, Ephraim Salam, in the game, always has the same line to me because he's got two sons. I want to say maybe they're about 10 and 12 years old. Not even a thought in their head that they would ever play football.
Wow.
And he says to them, like, the reason they don't play football is because he says this to them. I played football so you don't have to.
Yeah, wow.
That is his line. That's his line to his sons.
It's a great line. And I think about Lorenzo Neal, my former co-host, and his son, Lowe Jr., played in college at Purdue and got an unbelievable education. And he apparently is a brilliant young man. And he went out and tried a little bit in the NFL for one camp. And then that's it.
Yep.
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, college football, got an education, and now he's not playing football anymore.
You know what's fascinating is we see these people play and we just assume that they all love it. Love, love, love it. Built for it. It's not always the case.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know a lot of dudes who are professional athletes who actually have a love for a different professional sport. Ephraim, it would be one of those examples. He's a hooper. He loves basketball. He doesn't love football. Doesn't love anything about it. Hurts like hell. Every single day. Every day when he gets out of bed. Takes him a while. Every day when he went to go play with the kids. Hurts like hell. And so there are a lot of guys like that.
Yeah.
And in fact, I had a coach tell me one time that when they're going through the draft process, it is one of the things, there's a list, but one of the things that they're really looking for, do they love football? Because if you don't love football, it is at some point in your career, it's going to affect your commitment, it's going to affect your output, it may affect whether or not you want to keep doing this at the same level.
Exactly, especially when, you know, times get tight and, you know, things get rough and maybe you have a little bit of an injury or your team's not doing well. Are you somebody who's going to double down and put in the work or are you going to shut it down? And it's not just football. And I think about other careers that are lucrative. If you're a bond trader or a stockbroker or somebody doing the financials and you're up at 4 a.m. Pacific and you're grinding and, you know, you don't want to get up that early anymore and the job is really stressful and there's a lot of pressure, but you're making a ton of money and you're providing for your family, it becomes a little bit of a difficult choice for you personally, no matter what your career is. If it's high pressure, high effort, physical, mental, whatever it is, but you're doing really, really well and you're providing and you're earning,
yep.
there's a point where the scales tip and you have to decide that I can't do this anymore.
Right. No doubt. No doubt. All right. 888-957-9570, the number. Question we're essentially asking, have the Niners earned the contender label? Because I heard it. I heard it from some callers. We see it from texters, tweeters. Spadone said it earlier this morning. I was listening to him and Bonte, and he's like, look, the 49ers, I don't really buy them as contenders. They haven't beaten anybody. The funniest list of all in the list that we were going through, because I said it's also true essentially for the Packers, the Bills, the Commanders, and the Chargers. We didn't go through the Chargers. Listen to this. The Los Angeles Chargers, who are 6-3 and coached by Harbaugh, so it's very believable because we know he is often running a program that is successful. Jim Harbaugh, good coach. List of teams they've beaten. Ready? 6-3. Probably going to be a wild card team in the AFC. 6-3. Ready? Raiders, Panthers, Broncos, Saints, Browns, Titans.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the list. Now, they have had some good teams on their schedule. They played the first-place Chiefs. They played the first-place Steelers. And they played the first-place Cardinals. L.
Yeah.
So are the Chargers good?
Well, I think so. And I watch a lot of Charger football. I have them as my defense on my fantasy team. So
it's a good pick, by the way.
Well, yeah, and their defense is very good. Really good. And they can run the ball, and this team is built in Harbaugh's image. And so, yeah, they're a good team. They're a good regular season team. Are they going to be good enough to beat Baltimore or Kansas City or even Pittsburgh or Buffalo in the playoffs? No, I don't like their chances, but they look to me like a 10 or an 11 win team based on regular season. And ultimately, when you have a schedule that is like that, and this is where I look at Washington last night, where you go up against a Philadelphia team that is now playing some good football and they've won 6 in a row. And Washington, as you mentioned before, they haven't beaten anyone either, but they had that last place schedule, which brings me back to the NFC West and Arizona. Arizona, by virtue of their 4-win year last year, I think, they were terrible last year.
Yeah, they were bad. I can't remember.
Thought it was 4, but whatever it was, they were last place in the division, so you get a last place schedule, and it helps you.
But do you count Arizona right now as a good team? Because Washington beat them by 4 touchdowns.
Fine. Arizona beat the Niners. Yeah. So for me, you can't look at the Niners as a good team without looking at Arizona, a team ahead of them in the standings and a team that beat them. You can't look at the Niners as good without looking at Arizona as good.
Commanders 7-4 now. They have lost 2 in a row because they played 2 first place clubs, Steelers and Eagles. Here's the list for the Commanders. They've beaten the Giants twice. They've beaten the Bengals, the Cardinals, the Browns, the Panthers, and the Bears, and oh, by the way, asterisk on the Bears, that was a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
That was a Hail Mary.
The Browns have 2 wins, and the Giants have 2 wins, and you beat them twice, and so you could look at the record of teams they've beaten, and it makes the Niners' schedule look a little bit tougher. And so for me, and this is something we can get into about the Niners, if they go 10-7, which means they would win 5 of their last 8, for me, 10-7 is okay if you win the right 5. And I sent this to the group earlier when I was crossing the Golden Gate Bridge after my trip to Marin, and you hit me with a double question mark emoji. And so I tried to follow up with exactly what I meant.
I think that's just the way it shows up. Yeah. Like, you know, when you hold your finger down on the text, and then one of the options that you can like it, you can love it, you can exclamation point it, or you can question it. There's something else too.
You're talking to an Android guy.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Well, what's funny is I'm explaining it to him. It's not a double question mark.
I get it the way that you guys get it. Yeah. And you iPhone people, you iPhone sycophants.
Why don't you just say, you, everybody who's listening, go ahead.
All of you imbeciles who are a part of the cult, all of you sycophants for the inferior technology, what we now get is exactly what you give to each other. I get what you normally, like, it used to show up as a separate text message. It doesn't anymore.
No, but
I get your stupid emojis that you send.
No, but you get them and it lists the whole thing. That doesn't happen on an iPhone.
You don't know what I get.
I do know what you get.
No, you don't know what I get.
No, but we get it too.
What you get is what you get. What I get is what you send to each other. And now I don't get a new text message. I get your question mark or your exclamation.
I wanted to know what you meant. It was a please explain. It was a Roxy Bernstein.
And I explained it.
Go ahead, but that doesn't matter if you explain it to me. There are other people, at least I'm under the impression, listening right now.
I would hope
explain
so.
Explain to them.
If not, then we should pack our things.
Probably.
What it means is if they go 5-3, what's important is the five that you win, and that means you beat Seattle, Green Bay, the Rams, the Cardinals, and either Chicago or Detroit.
So you're giving up on the, and I get what you mean, not giving up on, but you're lessening the importance of the trips to Buffalo and Miami.
Correct.
Because AFC.
Exactly.
Right.
If you go 10-7, but you beat the Cardinals, the Rams, and the Seahawks, I do believe that'll put you in position to win the division. If Arizona's also 10-7, you're going to win that tiebreaker based on head-to-head, it's a push, divisional record, you would win over Arizona. Mm-hmm. And if it comes down to a wild card spot, and it comes down to conference record, that's where the Packer game and the Bear game and the Lion game, that's where those become more important.
I think we're going to know a lot more about Arizona in 2.5 weeks. They don't play this week, so we'll learn nothing. I will predict that they will still be 6-4 after this weekend.
Cuckoo!
Lock it in. but then it's back-to-back road trips. As the weather gets funky, this will matter for one of them, not the other one. But back-to-back road trips to Seattle and Minnesota. Now, Seattle's not a great football team, but that's a hard one. That's a hard division battle and could be raining up there over Thanksgiving week in Seattle. And then they go to Minnesota, and then they have to host Seattle the very following week. If they navigate those three games at 2-1, then I think Arizona is going to be a problem all the way to the end, which may well happen. But if they go 1-2 and find themselves 7-6,
yep,
or worse, if they find themselves 6-7,
boy,
then I think the Niners are going to have the opportunity to grab the division. Although, during all of that, the 49ers have really hard assignments as well. Like, we're going to know. We're going to know. Even if they go ahead and handle their business this weekend, we're going to know after trips to Green Bay and Buffalo what we're actually dealing with here. Now, when I threw the question out about a half hour ago, you didn't even blink. Have the 49ers earned the label this year contender? You didn't blink. You said yes. What's your answer? Why?
Yes, because I look at the NFC and I see 8 teams for 7 spots. And we can go through the list and talk about teams that are out. And I look at Dallas and New York and Chicago now with a new OC and the Flus in maybe a little bit of a precarious spot and a quarterback who does not look to me to be the sauce just yet. So teams that are out, Dallas, New York, Chicago, New Orleans, and Carolina. That's a quick 5. So sure. Now we're down to 11 teams. And I look at the West, and I look at the Rams in Seattle, and you can kind of put the pillow over Seattle's face this weekend with a victory. You would be then up 2 games on Seattle, and you would hold the tiebreaker over Seattle. I think Seattle's on the precipice of maybe bowing out. The Rams are interesting. I think that the NFC South is a one-team division, and Atlanta right now is in firm control, so that puts Tampa Bay in a tough spot. So I look at Philly, Washington, Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay. That's 5. And then Atlanta and one team out of the West.
Okay. However, just my first response to your answer is it sounds to me like you're answering it as to whether or not the Niners are contenders to make the playoffs. That's not, at least from me, that's not how I was asking it.
Oh, for me, it's one thing leading to another.
Okay, so are you saying that all playoff teams are title contenders?
I'm saying this team, as a playoff team, is a title contender.
And why? So why do you think that even if they make the playoffs, let's say they are one of those 7 teams, they find their way in, whether it's the West or the wild card, why have they earned that label as a team that could win the whole thing despite the fact that they're 5-4 and they have, quote, beaten nobody?
Because of what Draymond Green said yesterday, okay, on the Warner Report podcast talking about the muscle memory. And I know he was saying that, you know, until you win a title, you can't really know what it is to win a title. But I look at this team under Brock Purdy, 4-2 in the playoffs, really 4-1 if you discount the Philly game where his arm fell off. But I'm going to include that because it's on his ledger. They're 4-2. This team with McCaffrey and Debo and George and Fred and Nick, we don't know if he'll play this weekend, but I hope he's going to be okay. And Dre is coming back and the rest of it. And Kyle Shanahan, I do think that this team knows what it takes to win playoff games. So if this team gets in, okay, even if they're the 7, let's say they squeak in as a wild card at 10-7, and you're the 7 seed, and you then have to go up against Philadelphia on the road. You might be a small underdog, but you've won there, and you know what it takes to win
playoff games. That wouldn't scare me at all.
Right.
That wouldn't scare me at all.
So you go to Philly and you beat Philly, and then you would go on and take on Detroit.
Right, and you go to
Detroit, a team you beat last year in the playoffs.
The road games to the NFC North in January are the ones that would, right now, as we sit here today, those are the ones that would give me pause. Any of those three teams. I think road games to those three spots could be tough. In the playoffs.
In the playoffs,
Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit. I think those could be tough. But Washington doesn't scare me. Philadelphia doesn't scare me. Atlanta doesn't scare me. Arizona doesn't scare me. And I certainly don't take winning on the road in the NFC North off the table. It's possible.
Of course.
Here's maybe another way, though, to ask it. Because I agree with you, but I think both of us were coming from a place where we're adding previous seasons into the conversation. Like, if you just spotlight this year and ask for evidence of the Niners being a title contender, I'll submit I don't really see it. I don't see it. There's not any of the 9 games where I walked out and I went, man, now that's a squad. I probably walked out of opening night feeling that way, but that was because there's all kinds of stuff going on that we didn't realize. I thought the Jets were going to be a good football team. They're not. They're not. So... none of the games have made me feel like this team is going to be a true problem for opponents. But I believe they're a contender because old habits die hard. And because of, I love that you reference what Draymond is saying, where it's like, no, this is a muscle memory of people who have succeeded in this position before.
Yeah.
And the Niners have been 3-4 and 3-5 before. And look what they've done since they went 3-4. Well, it's not perfect, but they've won the next 2 football games. They're 2-0 since then. We told that, right? That's what we said. Second half of the year, November, here we go.
Yep.
And he's won another November game already. So maybe it's headed that way again, and maybe the muscle memory helps. I think they're a contender because they've been a contender. I don't think they're a contender based on anything that I've seen them do so far this season.
See, I would disagree only to the extent that what we've seen is a little bit uneven, but I look at the metrics, the basic metrics, yards per play. They're number 2 on offense in yards per play. They're number 2 in passing. They're number 3 in running. So offensively, even without Christian McCaffrey for much of the year, they've been good. The red zone has been a problem. And closing out games, it's been a problem. But I look at an offense with, you know, the top 5 MVP candidate from last year coming back, and that offense should continue to get better. And defensively, they've been a little bit uneven, but they're still toward the top half. Yards per play allowed, they're number 7.
I get it. That stuff almost like frustrates me, though, as a 49er fan.
It should, because like, you should be 7-2, right?
Why are you ranked so high in everything, and you're 5-4 and just ripping our fingernails off every time you win a game?
Yeah, week in and week out.
Why?
Yep. Yeah.
Why?
It's because your special teams, they're worse than my picks. And I would love to have... Hey, this is Kavon Looney.
Your special teams stink.
Yeah, why don't you send that down to... hey, this is Dan Dibley from Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Kyle, your special teams, they stink. And you can look at every single game.
No, they do. It's not possible.
It's probably.
No, definitely.
And that's been a big part of it. And, you know, Kyle's clock management has been a little bit wonky. And you had a field goal kicker who missed 3 last game. Each game has had a unique reason why it wasn't an Ottoman game.
So if the Niners earned the contender label, we can keep taking calls on that. 888-957-9570. Mark Schlereth in 20 minutes. We do want to address a couple of things based on Bay Area Radio and Beyond coming up next. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. With no compromises, it's Willard and Dibbs.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.